Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We appreciate that so much, and we're so glad you're here. Ricky and I are getting ready to talk about some current Disney topics, give our thoughts on some things that are happening down at our favorite place, down at Walt Disney World. Just some fun Disney talk to wrap the week. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. Pam has just returned from a great Walt Disney World conference for the earmarked agencies, which means, you know, they're down there discussing how to make the magic better for their guests. The folks over at the Magic for Less do this better than anybody. They're a platinum earmarked agency, which means they have gotten the highest honors from Walt Disney World from the feedback from their guests, from the amount of trips they book for their guests, and just the overall satisfaction with the process. The agents over at the Magic for Less, they care about their guests so much. They want to make sure that each and every trip is the best it can be for their guests. They know how special our times are for Walt Disney World. We count down these things for over, you know, a year sometimes. We want to work together to make that trip amazing for you at the lowest cost possible. Drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote, and an agent will be getting back to you right away to help you start that planning process. No cost to you, and you're going to get amazing service. So check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link. Again, it's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. If you're looking for an easy, simple way to support the Be Our Guest podcast, this is it. Just click through our link. You'll get all of your Prime benefits. It costs you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. So thanks to everybody who continues to use our link. It's over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1330, part two of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. We made it to another weekend, and what better way to kick off a weekend than by talking about what's happening down at Walt Disney World. So much news, so many things to talk about, because you're going to be experiencing these things on your next Walt Disney World vacation. So let's talk about it. Let's kick off the weekend. So joining me today, Pam, still chilling from getting back from Walt Disney World, doing a lot of work down there. Ricky's here from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky?
So I just want to send a huge shout out to Brian. I know he's listening because he's got plenty of time. He is actually running a 56-mile race in North Georgia mountains. Yeah, I know, right? 56 miles, not 26.
You sure it wasn't 56. You sure it's not like a 5.6K or something like that?
It is not a 5.6K. It is a 56-mile race. So when he told me he was going to be doing this, I thought he was absolutely nuts. I mean, I was like, okay, you know, and I thought he'd, you know, back out or whatever. I just want to say, because, you know, it's running through trails in the mountains. I mean, you have to have pit stops for this race. I mean, that's how crazy this race is. But I just want to tell you, Brian, I love you. You are awesome. I'm so in awe of how amazing you are. And you're going to rock this race today. So, yeah, you're pretty awesome.
You know, if it was anybody other than Brian, I'd worry. But, like, I've run marathons with him and, you know, down to marathon weekend. He's always smiling, always having fun, and he always adds mileage to, like, Marathon Sunday. It's 26.2, and he's like, I'll go in and out of the cones going down World Drive. Because I remember Scott and I were like, who's that guy? Check out that guy going in and out of the cones like he's slalom skiing. Oh, it's Brian, because he had a lizard shirt on. I was like, you know, so he's going to smile the whole way, and he'll make it. I have no doubt. So good luck to Brian. I can't wait to hear about it.
I know. He's crazy, but the good kind of crazy, I guess I should say. And he decided that this was something that he wanted to go for, and so he's going for it. So, he's pretty awesome.
Yeah, who'd have thought this isn't a great idea, running 56 miles in Georgia when it's hot in May? You know, and I heard it's not going to be super hot, right?
It's going to be cool. About 80 degrees. 80 degrees is not bad. I mean, it's still warm. And it is in the North Georgia mountains, so it might be a little bit cooler. Because it's going to be 80 here in Atlanta. So when it's up a little bit in the higher north in the elevation, you got a little bit cooler. And it's supposed to maybe rain. Whoops. So
hey, that might stay. Runners don't mind rain if it's going to keep it from being hot. So hopefully it's, I hope it gets ideal conditions. Let's hope, you know, when I used to inline speed skate, one of the biggest races of the year was one that they did. It was called Athens to Atlanta, down in Georgia.
Oh,
so you skated from there, and it was kind of north, the mountains, I think. So I never got to do that one, but that was like the legendary race. But anyway,
that's pretty awesome. This is going to be like 20 hours or more. So I don't
too much. And I run a lot. I run 12 miles every day, and I think that's crazy. So just have fun.
Right.
All right. So anyway, we're talking about what's up with that. There's so much news happening in the Disney hemisphere. You know, I've been reading it on my iPad this week, on my MacBook, as stuff comes through.
It's been a crazy week.
It's been crazy. And like every time I read a story, I put my finger to my head like this, and I go to myself. And sometimes I say it out loud, and Pam wants to know, what's wrong with you? But I say, what's up with that? Like, Whispering Canyon. Like, I was looking at that the other day. You know, we're like an old couple. We're kind of like Carl and Ellie from Up. You know, we have a love seat.
Not me and you. You and
no,
Pam,
no,
right?
Yeah, my wife and myself. Yeah,
all right.
Exactly. I mean, people get confused all the time for the last 10 years, but no, this is my wife and myself. We have a little love seat with a little divider in the middle where we put our sodas, got little cup holders, one for each of us. Remote sits between us. You just want to know what our living room looks like. That's us every night. We each have our iPads and we're reading our own news. She's reading People. I got her texture for her birthday. It's like great. She's got 250 gossip magazines, all the issues. She loves it. I read Twitter and everything. And I'm like, I came across this, the story about Whispering Canyon and taking away the antics. And I turned to Pam and I said, Whispering Canyon without ketchup? What? What's up with that? So, Ricky, what do you think? I mean, we've heard the news that maybe the shtick's going away. Maybe it's just going to be more of a traditional restaurant. What's going on with Whispering Canyon?
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy. We got word about this over the weekend, and it was mostly on Twitter. Somebody had asked the question to Disney about, what is going on with Whispering Canyon. They had noticed that, things have been a little quiet there. And Disney basically said that they are reassessing the restaurant. So for those who don't know, Whispering Canyon was kind of one of those restaurants where the cast members played with you a little bit. They would throw straws at you if you asked for ketchup. They would literally yell for ketchup and everybody in the restaurant would have to bring it to you. There was pony races. There was just a ton of, excitement and energy in the building. And, there's a couple of reasons I think that they are making this change. One is I think that, nowadays we live in kind of a society that I think just really likes to just eat their meal and go on with their day. They don't like to have a lot of fun, which is kind of sad, like there are places that I've been to in the past, Ed DeBevick's in Chicago, which I loved, but unfortunately that closed, which was a place where they would be rude to you and stuff like that. When I was in New York, I went to this place called Ellen Stardust Diner, where the whole shtick was these performers would sing songs. They were all trying to get on Broadway, and many of them actually had gotten on Broadway. So I enjoy kind of those type of atmospheres. They're a little crazy, a little zany when you first walk into them, but, it's still kind of a fun thing. And so, Disney, I think, was trying to test the waters with people to see how they reacted to it, whether they were appreciative of it by putting out these coasters. Mm-hmm. One side was green, one side was red, and you could choose whether you wanted to participate in the fun by putting up the green side or flip it, to the red side and not have fun. And I think that more people than not were choosing the red side, which is, again, very sad. I understand if you don't want to play, but it was still part of the fun. It didn't have to be, I think that a lot of people thought it was maybe rude, especially those who, let's face it, not a lot of people do a lot of planning that go to Walt Disney World Vacation. Not a lot of people are us, Mike, who sit here and live and breathe it.
All of us listening today, all of us, we're a big community us here. Everybody tuned in.
Exactly, exactly. Big community us here when I say that. And, that they didn't, I think that a lot of people really, especially those on the dining plan, with the popularity of the dining plan, didn't really do a lot of research to find out what the restaurant was about or, whatever. They just made the reservation. They were on the Disney dining plan. The food was basically paid for, so they didn't really care. I think that a lot of them who maybe didn't do their research ahead of time you know, when somebody's throwing straws at you, you are like, that's rude, you know? So, I think that there's a two reason thing for that. I also think that, you know, the restaurant is in the middle of the resort, and by the middle of the resort, I mean, there are guest rooms there. And, you know, when you've got somebody yelling at 7 o'clock in the morning that they need ketchup, it's probably, you know, constantly over and over again, may not be the best thing for those who are sleeping in like me. You know, they are on vacation. So, you know, I personally am sad about this change. I've had some really fantastic meals at Whispering Canyon. And some very memorable times. You know, I remember when Brian and Steve had to get up there and do I'm a Little Teapot, which was super fun. This one time, and I really don't remember exactly what happened or how it happened, but our cast member waitress, she somehow took Brian's phone and wanted to text somebody that was in the phone. And when he wouldn't let her do that, she put him in the corner. you know, I don't really remember exactly the details on everything, but those are the things that stick out to me. I remember those things. You know, I'm not going to have that experience anywhere else. Those are things that were specifically Whispering Canyon things because the cast was allowed to play with their guests. And now, unfortunately, they're not able to do that anymore, which makes me very sad.
It makes me very sad as well. Now, I understand because some of the stuff that you just described is like an introvert's worst nightmare. You know, like
Absolutely. They
don't want attention on them. They just want to go and have a meal. But I think the thing is that at Walt Disney World, there's going to be some experiences that are atypical of your typical dining experience, you know, like a 50s prime time or Alan said in the Facebook chat, you know, Trails Inn sometimes they'll have a little bit of fun with you, but it's mostly Whispering Canyon, 50s prime time, stuff like that. And the thing is that, you know, I think the cast members need to read their audience. You know, I think that's what they have to do. And I think it takes a really exceptional cast member to be a server at Whispering Canyon, because not only are you know, the people are going to be upset if they don't get their food in a timely manner or if they don't get refills on their drinks, you know, just the basic stuff that a server does, but also those of us that know what Whispering Canyon has historically been about, excuse me, is that they want some of the show. And for example, we were down there for the agent education program last month, and there were about 20 to 25 of us that had breakfast at Whispering Canyon, two long tables. And we had an exceptional, exceptional server. She was amazing. She did the shtick. She, you know, I drank my soda quickly. I was thirsty that morning. I'd run that morning and I was thirsty. And so I drank it too quickly. I got the big old gallon, you know, Coke. And she's like, yes. You know, she gave me a fast pass for the bathroom, you know. So, I mean, it was fun. Like, I remember that. And we said it was Jocelyn's birthday. It wasn't. You know, they brought out a cupcake, sang to her. And the cast member promptly ate her cupcake, didn't let Jocelyn eat it. You know, so it was awesome because the pictures and the stories were great. We're talking about
That's
it right
awesome.
Now. And I think that, you know, I know it's not a perfect, you know, what's the answer to this? You know, with the noise, nearby guest rooms, some people complain about in the lobby. I think the lobby's an open area, the tough, you know, I say tough for that. But, you know, it's one of those things I get. If you're paying, you know, deluxe prices for a hotel room and you're hearing it, that's an issue. But again, you're at Walt Disney World. I mean, are you mad because fireworks are going to wake you up? Because you hear those every night at Wilderness Lodge, you know, if you go to bed at 9. I don't know. Right. I just think that I don't want us to be deprived of experiences like this, because I can't go somewhere in St. Louis and have a Whispering Canyon, not only the great food they have, which the food's good, but it's not just the food. It's the entire experience. So I don't want to see these things go away.
No, absolutely. I mean, the food is fine at Whispering Canyon, but it really was the experience that brought it all together. And without that experience, you know, the food is just okay. You know, it's decent. It's not great. And I think that if they're taking away the shtick that was taking place there, they're going to need to maybe up their food game a little bit too. You know, I know everybody talks about the skillet, but you know, there were things I didn't like on the skillet, but I had a good time at the restaurant, so at all, I didn't care as much, you know? So, I think they're going to have to definitely up the food game at Whispering Canyon if they're taking away some of the fun. And I guess, you know, we'll have to see moving forward, you know, what additional changes they may make. You know, will they tone it down, you know, at all and bring back a little bit, but exceptionally toned down? I doubt it, just because, you know, you'll have those people who want the ketchup and, you know, then they can't go, oh, I'm sorry, but you don't do that anymore. You know, like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's been times I've been there for breakfast and I got hash browns and I was just like,
I love ketchup.
I love ketchup. I do. I put ketchup on my hash browns. I'm like, oh, man. Like, if I seriously, like, because I'll like, I'm looking around all the other tables, like, is there a bottle of ketchup for it? Because I'm just going to sneak over and grab it before I tell them the server. You know, it's one of those things where you don't want it every time. But I think that, you know, we're going to harken back to, oh, remember when Whispering Canyon was a fun place to eat? And now it's just a restaurant. You know, I don't want to lose those things because it does kind of have that Wild West feel, which the Whispering Canyon is Pacific Northwest, but it's kind of the same thing. You know, it kind of looks like a loggish. So, I hope that they maybe can find a, you know, again, middle ground. You know, hopefully, you know, they're not yelling for ketchup at you know, 7:45 a.m. But, I mean, if it's 11:30 or say it's 5:30 in the evening and people are there for supper, who cares if you're loud? Most people are out doing stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
well, I guess those people who are napping at 5:30 in the afternoon too bad. Would be a little angry.
Too bad. I'm a nice guy, but come on now. I want to have some fun on my Disney vacation. So speaking of that, we're talking about restaurants. Let's over to the Magic Kingdom. Right. It was announced this past week, 3 more restaurants will be serving alcohol in the Magic Kingdom. You know, it was just going to be our guest because, hey, French food, you got to have alcohol. It's kind of the whole experience. But all of a sudden, oh, now we're getting a little more. So what's up with that? What's up, Ricky?
So, Disney decided that they were going to add alcohol to the remaining 3 restaurants that did not offer alcoholic options before. The new restaurants are Crystal Palace, The Plaza, and Diamond Horseshoe, which I always forget is a
what's
restaurant.
What's up with that restaurant?
Well, I'm not exactly. Going to lie. Like,
speaking of what's up with that restaurant? Where is it? Because we had lightning hit nearby and the power went out earlier. We were talking about this. And one of the listeners was like, I don't know where that restaurant is. I mean, how do you not know that in the Magic Kingdom? You know, like, come on.
So for those who don't know where Diamond Horseshoe is, but it's been closed for most of the time that I've been going to Walt Disney World. So I was like, okay. And it definitely isn't one of those talked about restaurants. So it's in Liberty Square, actually, for those who don't know. But then they kind of offer, they announced that they're having a menu change. So they're going to be offering a few different things here in the next week or two. I may actually have to try it when I'm down there, either Memorial Day weekend or for my birthday in July. But, you know, anyway, back to the whole thing. I think the reason why they're making this change is really because of the fact that, they added alcohol to the Disney dining plan this year. And I think that a lot of people, you know, would obviously be expecting to have an alcoholic beverage with their meal. They're paying for it. And then they'd show up at these restaurants and lo and behold, no alcoholic option for them. So they were probably a little perturbed. I mean, like I said, they paid for it. So Disney probably decided, hey, you know what? We're just going to add these, you know, back in here. And you know, that way the people who are on the Disney dining plan, they're not angry when they show up at the restaurant and they're like, where is my alcohol? So the options are, there's not like a lot of options. It's mostly beer, a couple beers, a couple wines, and either mimosas or sangria type options at some of those restaurants. So I know a lot of people have their hand wringing going on, oh no, it's going to be like Epcot and out of control. And, you know, we had this discussion earlier, but I'll do the gist of what I think. I'm one of those people who I don't care what you do on your vacation. If you want to get plastered drunk at Epcot, that's up by you. I'm worried about me and my family. I don't care what you're doing. So, but let me just say, it's not that way at the Magic Kingdom. It hasn't really been, I don't really think it's that way. You know, everybody throws out Epcot as the big example, but if you I think that's kind of an outlier, especially during festival season. That's really an outlier. If you think about it, all the other parks offer alcohol as well. So, you know, you've got Disney's Hollywood Studios that offers alcohol. You've got the Dawa Bar, or the Animal Kingdom. I don't know why I said the Dawa Bar. You've got Animal Kingdom, which has the Dawa Bar.
Yes.
You know, so you've got that, options there. They've had options for alcohol for years. Really, there's really been no issues. You don't hear about, you know, the other parks having issues either. The Magic Kingdom, it's the same way. They're not going to have issues with out of control drunkenness. It's just not going to happen, especially because this is only offered during dinner. And even, let's put it this way, even if Disney decides in the future, hey, you know what, you know, let's just add alcohol to the entire rest of the Magic Kingdom, throw it in the kiosks or whatever.
I can deal with the table service restaurants, but not, I don't want it out at the, you know, every quarter.
But like my grandma, when we went there for her, you know, when that one and only trip, and what she wanted more than anything at the Magic Kingdom was a beer.
Well,
she
too
wanted
bad. A Bud Light. You don't get a Bud Light at the Magic Kingdom. I loved your grandma. Your grandma was awesome. I mean, I'm not to say anything bad about your grandma. And she's from St. Louis. Everybody from St. Louis except me wants a Bud Light. Right. I don't drink it. But I'm just saying that it's okay to have places where you can't get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, go
it
get a Bud Light.
But it disappointed her so much when I had to tell her grandma there's no beer at the Magic Kingdom. So, again, I don't think that even if they did, they're not offering it at the kiosk and stuff like that. But if they did, it's not going to be the free-for-all that a lot of people think that Epcot is. And that's all I'll say on that. That's my piece on that. I have no problem. I don't drink. So I just want everybody to know, it's not like I'm a raging alcoholic myself.
I know, that's the irony of this whole thing.
I don't drink at all, like, period. I maybe have one alcoholic beverage a year, if that. Like, and it's, you know, usually around the holidays or something if I have one and I'm around family and I'm like, what the heck? So, you know, like, I really don't ever drink. So it's not like I'm saying this from a you know, someone who's like, yeah, I can get sloshed at the Magic Kingdom now.
I just think the Magic Kingdom's kind of sacred. And I don't mind, like I said, it's a compromise that they bring it to the table service restaurant. You have a glass of wine or you have a beer, whatever, you know, some kind of imported beer, whatever you want to have with your dinner. That's fine. As long as it stays in the restaurant. I just don't want people walking around with a can of Bud Light. It starts to look like Six Flags at that point.
I mean, they're doing it anyway. They're just sneaking it in.
Well, okay,
so
sneak it in then. Okay, whatever.
Honest.
Whatever. That bothers me. And you know what? Epcot, too, with people getting drunk, that bugs me so bad because, to me, it all gets back to respect. I don't mind if you drink. You're on vacation. You're going to have a good time. I don't drink a lot. I drink with friends of the podcast. You know, we'll have like a tequila or something. This is just for fun. But the thing is, it's about respect, you know, because I know you're paying a lot of money for your vacation. You want to drink. You want to have a good time. That's fine. But that person next to you with the family or even if, you know, just a single couple, whatever, you know, they paid a lot of money for their vacation. And it's about respect. They deserve to have a great trip, too. And if you're using vulgar language or you're being rude or you're just not being considerate of those around you, I get so fired up about that. And I mean, we talked about this earlier that, you know, it doesn't even have to do with drinking a lot of times. It could be the guy who pops the kid up on their shoulders five
Absolutely.
Minutes before the fireworks. That's just that's not a nice thing to do to those around you.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I think that the issue is not necessarily the drinking, although I'm sure that that adds a lot to it. I just think that a lot of people nowadays just really don't care about anybody else but what they're doing. And, you know, I mean, I had that at the Justin Timberlake concert this past weekend. I was sitting, you know, it was a mellow moment, whatever. And these guys decided during this mellow moment, this guy was coming up the stairs, who decided to stop and say hello to his buddy that was sitting right in front of me, and his girl, like, it was him and his girlfriend, and like, I went, I threw my hands up in the air. The girlfriend clearly saw me, and they didn't even care about the fact that I was like, what are you doing? I'm watching the concert.
So he ruined all your fantasies. You're like, oh, Justin's right there. Oh, and then he just blew it.
Justin's right there. And he really was right there, too. So I'm just saying, like, I think nowadays people are just more rude to begin with. And, it, you know, maybe the drinking sometimes throws that, you know, magnifies it a little bit. But I really do think that people are just more, you know, more rude in general. So
me first. You know, I think that could be easily fixed, though. Just, I mean, you feel good. I feel like I'm back teaching sixth grade again, though. But I mean, it really does feel good to know that you're considering those around you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
that's
I know
true.
That you want to have the best experience. We're all about that. This podcast, I mean, one of our goals is to help you have the best Disney vacation you can have. But that doesn't mean that the person next to you has a second rate experience because you're having the best one. We can all do something where we have a great trip. So off that soapbox.
That's true. Stop putting your iPads and children up in front of me when I can't see the fireworks.
Please. You're not going to watch
stage
it.
Shows.
You're not going to watch it anyway. All right. So the next thing I'm going to ask you about, it's kind of the new hotness down in Disney Springs. It's hot right now. It's that new Disney Side store, which is that what it's
yes!
called? Disney Side? It's like a home.
Disney style.
I don't know. Disney something. Disney style. And it's like home goods and clothing and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it seems really. People are excited about this. So what's up with that, Ricky?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Okay. So this store is where I'm going to spend all of my money going forward. Like, Brian, sorry. We have no more money. Why? Because Ricky bought everything at the Disney Style store. So basically, what it is it's Disney is finally listening. They realize that Disney is not just for little children or just the regular, you know, I went to Walt Disney World t-shirt crowd anymore. It's for people like me who want something that's fashionable and cute that I can wear around on a regular basis. I've been noticing this a lot more at the Disney store here in Atlanta. You know, when I've gone in and gone shopping, you know, they have a really cute line. It's kind of, I think it's tied into the Oh My Disney, which, yay, bravo, Disney, for
oh
listening
my
and
Disney.
Realizing.
I just had to say it like that. Go ahead.
And realizing that us, you know, 20 and 30 year olds want to spend our money on stuff like this.
And they're realizing you finally got jobs by the time you're 30. Now you have money to spend.
Exactly.
You're not living in your parents' basement anymore.
The ones that grew up in the, you know, 80s and 90s, we now have money to spend on stuff, and you were ignoring us for so long. Like they have a Sebastian pool float at the Disney store, and I really want to buy it. Here's my problem. I don't have a pool. I don't know where I'm going to put it.
You got a bathtub. That's all you need. Go.
Like, I came this close to buying that. And, you know, they've got a line of mermaid leggings and really cute shirts. Anyway, that's at the Disney store. But, at the Disney Style store, it's kind of the same thing. They have a lot of, like, you know, kind of cute accessories and things like that, which I love. It's so fantastic. I'm so glad that Disney has finally woken up to the fact that people don't necessarily want the "I went to Walt Disney World" T-shirt when they come, you know, when they come back. They want a souvenir that they can actually wear around, you know, and not just, you know, have people say, "Oh, I see you went to Walt Disney World," you know. And so I think bravo to Disney for that. Also, they have some adorable props in there. So they have a little teacup. It's perfect for you Instagrammers. And you can go take your picture in there. I know I'm definitely going to be getting my picture taken in there. Sorry, Brian. You're going to have to take my picture.
Senior pictures again. Here we go.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's. I like that the store is 100% geared toward me, and we can just say bye-bye money. So if anybody would like to donate money to the Ricky Fund so she can buy stuff she doesn't need, I will gladly accept it.
You know what? From the coverage I've been seeing, I'm excited to go down. You know, again, Disney Springs is a destination for me, which is saying a lot because I'm not a shopper, but I do like what they've done with the dining, with the merchandise, with the snacky. I mean, the live entertainment. It's a fun place, even for this non-shopper. I hate shopping. But the thing is, you know, to me, it looks like what they're doing is they've taken some of the ideas out of the co-op, which they had, which was kind of for the hardcore Disney fan,
like,
but at least
ground.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that was the whole idea of it. But I think what they've done is they through that, you know, I don't know if they would have thought that they were going to sell, you know, trash can shaped salt and pepper shakers. But I mean, those were all the rage, you know, and the plates and stuff that had the Haunted Mansion print or the Tiki Room print and stuff like that. And I mean, that stuff was accepted and loved by, I think there's maybe a larger community that would buy that than maybe they expected. And now maybe they're moving it even one more step mainstream with a bigger store like this.
Absolutely. I think that's 100%. I think that store was definitely a test to see what was going to be successful and what wasn't. And I think that they may have been surprised by the outpouring of, you know, love for that type of stuff. I mean, I know I've bought stuff at the Marketplace Co-op before. You know, I have all that Be Our Guest stuff down in my kitchen. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's all, decorating my kitchen. I, you know, bought other things, dresses, Vera Bradley bags, which, by the way, why are they not making any more Vera Bradley bags? Hello, I still want a Disney Vera Bradley bag. So please bring those back. Thank you.
Okay, whatever. I don't know about that. I don't even think about that. I have no idea.
That's okay, Mike. It's just for us girls. We're fine.
They were called Dooney and Burks. Is that a different thing?
Yeah, I don't. I'm one of those girls who I don't like the Dooney and Burks. So
my mother-in-law likes them.
I don't want a giant plastic purse. So
okay. All right. So
it's not plastic.
All right. Next thing I want to talk about. So I've been hearing rumors. Again, this is strictly a rumor, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this. That they're possibly going to put in a new hotel to the entrance of Epcot, like right there in the entrance plaza where the touch points are right now, kind of framing Spaceship Earth, almost like a deluxe Epcot. I mean, basically it's kind of like the Grand Californium where you'd walk right into the park. Boom, you're right there. So what's up with that? Is that something you're excited about? You think will happen, will not happen? I mean, what do you think?
So I am on the fence about this one. I don't necessarily believe it 100%. I definitely don't think it's going like right on the, you know, right in front of Epcot. If they are thinking about building a hotel there, I think that if they're considering a hotel in the Epcot area around there, maybe a little more off to the side, you know, or maybe over towards Obviously, they can't go towards the side with where Ellen's energy adventure was, because they're building Guardians of the Galaxy over there. So it would have to be the other side, over towards the land or the wind seas.
But I would imagine it'd be over kind of where the buses are right now, kind of that area.
Yeah, probably over there. Yeah, but I mean, I'm still skeptical of this rumor. I think I would like to see a little bit more concrete that I believe about it. I'll just leave it at that. As far as the actual hotel, I don't care either way if they build a hotel, in the front of Epcot or not. It doesn't really bother me either way. Not to have an opinion on it is weird for me, but it's just one of those things where I'm like, if they build it, they build it. If they don't, they don't.
Well, see,
I think that they're in the market of building a lot of hotels right now, so they could very well be thinking about it.
Well, I'm sure they're thinking about it, because that is one thing that Walt Disney World, I can tell you just from a travel agent's perspective, they are in serious need of hotel rooms.
Oh,
and it's going to get worse and worse with Star Wars Land when it opens up next year.
100%. They should have been building hotels, 2-3 years ago when they announced Star Wars, Land was coming. Hello, why didn't you think of this, but when you were planning that out? Star Wars is going to be a huge monster. I don't know why they didn't start building just a bunch of hotels at that point.
And what we need is them in all levels. We need a couple more values, big values, like Pop Century size. We need, at least a moderate or two, kind of like a Riverside French Quarter idea. I really believe that. But the thing is, if this happens with a deluxe hotel coming to the entrance to Epcot, again, when I read this, and I've read this rumor over and over for like the last 6 months. So I saw it again this week. That's why I brought it up. But it's like, I'm like resistant to it at first. And I'm like, oh, I don't want anything, because that's such a pretty view of Spaceship Earth. But really,
it is a very pretty view of Spaceship Earth. Yeah.
I just can't imagine that they would totally block that, because the thing is, I look back at all my history of when I first hear these things, or when there's still rumors, because we've been doing the podcast now for over 10 years. So many of the things that are commonplace right now were rumors that we were resistant to immediately at first.
That's true.
Magic bands. Who's going to wear a bracelet? Your wrist is going to be sweaty. We heard that. And now it's like, you just do it. It's part of your trip. There's so much that we were resistant to. Oh, they're going to change. They're going to put Jack Sparrow in the Pirates. Who'd have known that now the redhead isn't even, we're not
even
auctioning
even
her off. She's in charge of the whole ride now. Who'd have thought that 10 years ago? And things are usually fine. The thing is, I've said this at least a lot on the podcast, that I really do have to trust Disney, but in my heart, at first, I'm just not good with change. I'm just like,
it's hard.
Ooh,
no, you're not good with change.
Yeah, I'm not. Oh man, I have the same meal every night of the week. I got my patterns. I don't break up. So.
Of course, you have to get Taco Bell.
I already had it.
I know. Record. He can't do anything different. Trust me, he does not change. Yeah.
Thanks to the lightning, I got it early tonight. But anyway, so it's one of those things though that I think I would be fine with it, because I think Disney would do it right. They just have too much at stake for it not to be right. But right now, if I'm thinking about it, if they do it, I'm like, oh, I kind of hope they don't do it. But I think it'd be fine. So anyway, that's just a rumor. But this is something that is actually going to happen. And boy, did Disney break this news in a big way. A new table service restaurant coming to Japan. What's up? What's up with that, Ricky?
So first of all, let's just preface this by the fact that Disney, in the same exact week, had a blog post not announcing the space restaurant, not announcing anything about the space restaurant, just announcing the fact that the location of the space restaurant and the fact that it was going to be built between Test Track and Mission Space. That was all that was in the article that we learned that was new. An entire article. That was it. That's all they did. Then, in the monthly wrap-up of what new hot dog you can get at Casey's Corner and new cupcake you can get, they have this brief little blurb in there, not a full blog post, just a brief blurb about the fact that a brand new restaurant is coming to the Japan Pavilion at Epcot. And I was just like, what? Why did you have a whole blog post about a stupid space restaurant where we know nothing?
I know. And people were debating, is it going to fit? I'm sure it's going to fit. Disney's measured. They've built buildings before and they've built restaurants. It's going to be fine. But the thing about the Japan restaurant, though, is, Okay, so think about Japan right now. We have, Tokyo Dining's right. pretty nice. You got Teppanyto. That's right. that's a really nice restaurant. It's hibachi right. style, but people love that. You got Katsura Grill. Katsura, did I say it right yes. this time? Yeah, there we go.
Katsura. See, second time. There yes, we go. There you go.
I love that place. Go. You know, I love the koi fish. I love the shogun platter. I don't eat the koi fish. I look at them first. Then I go eat my shogun platter.
Good. Thank you for clarifying that. Yes.
I don't fish. I don't, I have fish in World Showcase. Again,
you're
we throw
throwing out the fishing pole,
exactly.
catching the fish,
I'm
frying
saying,
it up on the back. Yeah.
They're big bass in that World Showcase Lagoon. We fished there with Mark Yerkes last year, and it was crazy, the fish we were pulling out of there. It was unbelievable. Anyway,
yes.
So now we're going to get a fourth dining location in this one pavilion.
Yes.
But I think, though, well, tell us what we know or what we don't really know a lot, but what do we think we know at this point?
We don't know a whole lot. So where I think it's going to go, and I haven't been to the Japan Pavilion in a while, like in the back. So I think that they're building it in the back of the current shop that's back there. So I think that they're utilizing some space that was maybe, back behind that area that we didn't get to see as guests. And what we know is it's going to be a signature restaurant, which is something that actually the Japan Pavilion doesn't have. So, you've got Teppanyto and Tokyo Dining, but those are both, regular just table service restaurants, and then Katsura Grill is counter service. So this is the Japan Pavilion's first official signature dining restaurant. And from what I'm hearing, that space is back there is not like huge, so it's probably going to be a little bit more of an intimate setting as well. So I guess we'll see moving forward. Kind of again, Disney didn't release a lot of details about this, but they did actually announce that there is a new restaurant coming for the Japan Pavilion, so that's a good thing. I'm excited to try it out.
Yeah, and I think the thing about Japanese food is that Americans tend to be pretty excited about Japanese food, because the thing is, it's a lot of shrimp, yeah. steak, and chicken. If you think about it. Now, I'm talking
right.
like your typical like Teppanyto hibachi style. We have lots of Japanese restaurants.
Right.
They're all over the country. And the thing is that you don't have to like. I mean, because really, all it is just a fancy way to eat chicken, a fancy way to eat steak, and a fancy way, it's basically cubed up
and
all those things. With some rice and noodles, exactly.
Rice.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really.
Well, actually, no, you don't have fried rice. I remember when we were at Teppanyto. They told me the reason they don't have fried rice is because that's more of a Chinese cultural thing than a Japanese cultural thing. I found that to be very interesting. That's why they offer the noodles instead.
Well, see, and so I prefer the white rice. I like that better. I pretend like I'm on Survivor.
Well, they
but
also don't really offer the rice in general.
Well.
So, yeah.
But I'm just saying, Americans are very good about eating that, because really you're just eating, it's just different shaped chicken,
true.
Steak, and shrimp and stuff like that. But the thing is, I think this is going to be popular for the fact that Americans tend to like Japanese food, and accept it pretty well. But another signature dining location in World Showcase is going to be a hit, I think, because you got like Le Cellier.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. You have in France, the signature.
Is Monsieur Paul?
Yep.
Monsieur Paul.
So then you have, I'm trying to think, going around the, just off the top of my head, Italy? Just going around Norway, Mexico. Nope.
No.
So, I think it's something that is lacking. And, okay, so let me ask you this real quick before we jump out of here. 3 years from now, after this gets built and it's online
right?
there for, 6 months to a year, scale of 1 to 10, how popular is this destination?
So honestly, it's hard to say as of right now. The reason being is we don't know the type of food that they're going to be offering. If it is more, something that appeals to the American palate a little bit more, then I think it's going to be exceptionally popular. If it's, a little scarier for the American palate, I think that it will make a little bit. More exotic. Yes, I think that might hurt it. But also, like I said, I've heard that it's supposed to be very small. So if it is actually very small, it may not matter, whether it's more exotic or not. The place is still going to be pretty full anyway. So I really think that we have to wait and see on this, because it will all depend. There's too many variables that we don't know the answer to at this point with it.
All right. So we have about 5 minutes left, Ricky. So what other big news story from the last week have I missed, that we might want to address here on a Friday just to kind of wrap up the week?
It was a hot week this week with the giant fire.
Oh, yeah, it was. We were talking about this in the pre-show, but I mean, everybody in the world comes up to you. If you're a Disney fan, which everybody knows you are, and I'm talking to you listening right now, whether you're on the treadmill, driving in your car, it doesn't matter, folding the laundry. I know somebody came up to you this week and said, "See that dragon at the Magic Kingdom almost burned down Cinderella Castle when his head blew up?" What? No? What dragon? What? No, that must have been at Universal. But they have a dragon. No, man, it was at Disney. I saw it on the news. It's all head. It was like the ears were shooting fire instead of the mouth. It was crazy. You know, everybody came up to me like,
telling me.
That's exactly what everybody's telling me. Like, so I just finally just acted like, there's no dragon at Walt Disney World. What are you talking
about?
That was
rude.
Fake news. Fake news, people. No, but I mean,
it's definitely not fake news.
Wasn't there a cast member that had to like shoot that thing with like a fire extinguisher? Like, I mean, it's a dragon. It could just blow you away. It's crazy.
It wasn't a real dragon.
I know. Well.
That was, I mean, absolutely crazy. You know, just minding my own business, going through Twitter, I got a text. The text is what alerted me to the fact that there was
what,
a fire.
You have like a text alert when any dragons catch on fire? They send you a text or something? How's that work?
No, it was a friend of mine who sent me a text. But I was just like, that's the end of Maleficent as we know it.
Yep.
So there's that, which is sad because it was the coolest float. I mean, seriously, it breathed fire. That was really cool. Once it catches on fire, there's no going back. They're not going to be like, okay, let's just put the fire back. Like, that's just not going to happen. They'll probably fix her, but she probably won't breathe fire anymore. And that makes me very sad.
But see, is that a shame though? Because it is an awesome effect. And honestly, that float, the Maleficent float is, I don't know exactly what it's made of. I haven't touched it, but it looks like it's all metal. I mean, they could really fix that thing probably in a day and have it back out there if they wanted to. I'm scared they're going to be like, we dodged a bullet on that one. Nobody got hurt, so we're not going to do that again. But I mean, the thing is, like, it went for years without anything bad happening. Right. I hate to see stuff like
it
that
did.
Go away. Ugh.
And you know what I'm going to say right now? Honestly, I'm not a parade person. Like, I'm really not. But dude, Maleficent made the parade for me. Like, that is what everybody talked about. And I feel like if they don't bring back the fire effect, which I have a feeling they're probably not going to do. But if they don't, that really hurts that parade. That hurts that there was a wow factor with that parade before. And, you know, that's going to take away that wow factor. It's still a great parade, but, you know, it's just not as awe-striking as, you know, if she doesn't breathe fire.
Well, and that soundtrack too, like if you think about the music that plays during that parade, like when you're in the section where Maleficent is, the music builds up like dun 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 dun.
Yeah, it does.
So it'll be building up to nothing, you know what I'm saying? Like, it'll be like, what do you do then? I mean, seriously, it does. Like, the music does cue the fire coming out of the dragon's mouth.
Fire. It does cue the fire. Yes, definitely. So I am super, super sad about Maleficent. And I am even more sad that she probably will never breathe fire again. And that makes me hurt.
That's a great way to wrap up a week, Ricky, on a downer there. Poor Maleficent
shooting fire. I'm such a bummer.
Maleficent shooting fire out of her ears and her nostrils and her vocal cords, and we're all just sad she's not coming back. Whatever.
I know. I mean, let's put it this way. It sounds terrible. I am so thankful that nobody got hurt.
True,
I mean,
trust
me. Let me throw that out there. I'm so thankful that none of the cast members, none of the guests, you know, got hurt during the whole situation, because that would have been awful. I mean, you know, just terrible if that had happened. So that's why we can kind of laugh and jest about it, you know, I guess, because nobody got hurt. So all the memes going around.
Yeah, exactly. Good deal. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Just kind of a fun way to talk about the things that are in the news. And there's a lot in the news right now. So we appreciate so much. I know. So hopefully next week will just be as fun and we can do this again. Who knows? So don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Work with the best. Work with a platinum earmarked agency. Those agents, I promise you, work so hard to get each guest the trip of their dreams. Because honestly, we know you're counting down that trip just like we are. From over a year in advance, every day you're talking to your family. We're down to 200 days to go. We're down to 150. Those agents get that. And it's a big responsibility. They take that very seriously. They're always going to get you the most magical trip they can and at the lowest cost possible. So when it comes time for that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney Trip, and even Universal. That, you know, Universal has a great product as well. Drop by themagicforless.com. While you're area there. Fill out that free, no obligation quote, and an agent will get back to you right away. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. And a huge thank you to everybody who's been using the Amazon affiliate link. It really does help support the show. It costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits, and it's a piece of cake. So next time, this week,
I want cake. I'm going to order cake.
I wish. I know. So I've used it because Mallory broke her iPad case, so I had to get her new iPad case earlier in the week. And finally, I wore literally a hole through my sneakers. So it was time to replace those. So you know what? It cost me nothing extra, but hey, I help pay for some of our own bandwidth that way, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, please use brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We are on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And also, we have a great Facebook page, which you need to be there on Monday nights because it gets a little crazy, especially when we have severe weather. It's over at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Not the second time we've done this episode.
Nope. And the first time,
we almost got through the whole thing the first time.
Yes. And the first time, for just a split second, you got to see Mike's eyes look like basketballs, you know, right before the power went out when the lightning hit outside the house. So I was like, that was what it looked like if you're looking at this video. All right. So anyway, we're going to get out of here and wish you a great weekend. Have some fun. Pam will be back with us next week, and we'll be having a more fun Disney talk. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wish you a great weekend. Have some fun, but stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.